I noticed today during the praise and worship and all the singers that a lot of people would come up to the front. And this isn't on the list, but let's go to 1 Kings 8:22. Maybe I can just get there. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of the assembly of Israel. This is one of Solomon's prayers. And spread out his hands toward heaven. Go to 23. And said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants, who walk before you with all their hearts. That raising of the hands and with your head bowed, sign of humiliation, you know, being humble. And that is scriptural, perfectly scriptural, Old Testament and New Testament. So that is a position of prayer. The Hebrew word for that, believe it or not, is yada. So you could actually say, what'd you do at church? Oh, you know, yada, yada, yada. But that is a position of prayer and worship. So I just wanted to bring that out because sometimes people don't know. They just say, well, you know, I visited a church and people are crazy. They raise their hands all the time. And they don't know. So it's a good thing that have some scripture to tell them, hey, you know, that's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. New Testament, we see it in 1 Timothy 2:8. So there's two scriptures, old and new, for you. So that's that. I just wanted to bring that up because you noticed that today, didn't you? People coming up to the front. Amen. Well, Kelly asked me to preach on sin. And let me tell you, there is so much stuff on sin because there's a lot of sin. I mean, there just is. So the first place we're going to go is Romans chapter 3, verse 23. There's a word that we're really going to elaborate on. It's called propitiation. Did I say that right, hon? Propitiation. That's it. All right. That's a big, long word, and I have trouble pronouncing words. So he helps me a lot because the girls will tell you, Angelo is very good on pronouncing words, and when we would have Bible study in the morning with the kids, they would have to repeat words several times till they got it right. He tried that with me, and it hasn't been working yet for 50 years. He still has to do it. But I'm trying. So here we go. Chapter 3, verse 23. 23 through 26. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a
propitiation
by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, in his long suffering, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in us, faith in Jesus. So here we go. All of us have sinned, and we still do to this day. And we fall short of the mark. The wages of sin is death. So there has to be something that we can do. But here's the good news. Jesus did it all for us. The thing we have to do is repent and come to know to Jesus and have let him forgive us of our sins. So that's the important thing. He did it for us. So let's look at Romans 6:23. Just a few couple chapters over. Little Coco said, "Nanny, how many verses are you doing tonight?" I said, "Oh, about 20." He said, "Oh, my God. Are you going through them fast, Nana?" Glory to God. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So there it is for you written out. 1 John chapter 3. Verses 4 through 6. "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness." Now here's some confusion. In our vocabulary, lawless means no law. But that's not what it means in the scripture. It means an overt rebellion against the law. Okay? And sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. In him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. You know, one of the things that we do every Wednesday here is communion. And the reason why we do it is because even Christians sin. We have to come to the Lord and repent of that sin and try to do better. Try not to do it again. Now, I had a girlfriend when I was going through high school. Frank, you'll appreciate this. She's a little Catholic girl. Her name was Susan Whiteside. I love her. She's a mechanical engineer right now. And she was Catholic, and she would go to confession. And I'd ask her, "What do you confess, Susan?" She goes, "Well, I've got a long list and a short list, depending on how many Hail Marys I want to say." And I looked at her and I said, "Does that work for you?" She goes, "Well, right now it does." But that was Susan. She was smart too. But anyway, I'll never forget that long list or short list. Sin is known as disobedience of God's commands and laws, wickedness, evil, iniquity, perversity, turning away from what is right, good, a transgression or wrongdoing. Sin is a word used to denote the willful breaking of God's law, doing evil or wishing to do evil, or failure to do what's right. Let's look at, you might have already been there. Let's look at 1 John. No, let's not do that because we've already been there. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." No one can say that they haven't sinned, except for Jesus. We all have sinned. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Now, here's the thing. There's all kinds of sin. If you ask your phone, it will give you a list, believe it or not. I had asked my phone, and 637 was what I seen on the number there. And I thought, "Oh, my goodness." And they weren't done. I had to scroll up. I just gave up. I thought, "My goodness, there's a lot of sin." So here's the thing. There's all kinds of sin. But it's anything that's in disobedience to God. You know, you have willful sin. What's willful sin? That's the type of sin that you know. When you're doing something, you're not doing what you should be doing. Or when you're thinking something or saying something that you shouldn't, you know it. That's willful sin. Then we have the sin of ignorance. Let me tell you something, Sherry. Sometimes you can go to Facebook and you think to yourself, is everybody ignorant or what? Because I'm going. And Angelo read me something, two or three months ago, and I said to him, I hope to God that's a sin of ignorance. Because if not, they are in trouble. Their spirit is in trouble. The sin of ignorance is you just haven't learned that that's not right to do or to say or to think. Habitual sin is something that's a habit. That maybe it's a thought that you'd like to dwell on when things are going bad, or a fantasy that you have, or a habit that you have, and you know it's wrong, but you enjoy it. And so you just do it out of a habit. It's something that you like to do, and you're going to do it, and it's your habit. But sin is sin. And so it's all, whether it's habitual, a sin of ignorance, a willful sin, all of that. Now, here's the thing we were talking about. Propitiation. Did I say that right? Propitiation. I'm going to get that. Propitiation, Frank. Propitiation. What's that mean? Now, here's the thing. When you think about the wrath of God, don't you think that he's angry? That's not what it means. Oh, my goodness. Well, what does that mean, Kelly Mae? What that means, the wrath of God is a form of his justice. Now, God is holy. He's holy, Melissa. He's righteous. God is love, and he's just. Now, he won't sacrifice what's just for sin. It has to be dealt with. And our sin deserves his wrath. Here's the good news. Jesus took that for us. He covered that. He became our propitiation. Did you hear that? Propitiation. In the Bible, God's wrath is about God being righteous, his justice and holiness. It's an expression of his perfect holiness. And we deserved his wrath as sinners. His nature is just, and we deserved it for our sins and our moral depravity. It's God's righteous response to sin. It is reserved for the sinner and for Satan and his army. That's the truth of it. And the only way that you don't experience his wrath is through Jesus Christ. The only way. Now, we may experience wrath of our own, and that's like a simmering anger. And it talks about that in the Bible too. You can't have that in your body, in your thoughts. In the Bible, God is always the one who provides propitiation. Even in the Old Testament, through the sacrifice of animals. There was a place called the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, behind the curtain, sat a mercy seat. Now, that mercy seat was a box. It had a lid on it. It had two angels, one here and one there. Their wings covered over the mercy seat. And in fact, let's go to Exodus, chapter 25, verse 22. You're going to love this. And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat. from between the two cherubim. What's a cherubim? Cherubim is an angel. And I don't mean that little thing that you see on cartoons and in the movies of these little naked babies with wings. No, it's two angels. And angels are, I don't know what you would call them, fierce, strong-looking beings. They aren't wimpy-looking stuff. Now, when I was growing up, my grandmother had one of those lamps on them round end tables, and it had those little naked baby cherubims on that lamp. And I used to think, wonder what that's all about. But I never asked her. Cherubim, which are in the Ark of the Testimony, about everything which I will give you in the commandment to the children of Israel. Inside that chest was the Ten Commandments, a gold bowl with manna in it, and the rod of Aaron. Okay? That was in the box. Had a gold topping with those cherubims on each end. And why is that so important? Because I'm going to show you later. Jesus became our propitiation. Now what they would do, there was called a Day of Atonement. They would take the sins of the Israel people, and the high priest would sacrifice that animal and take the blood. There would be a rope tied to his ankle. He'd go behind that curtain and make an offering, sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat. And if he did it right, he would live, and he wouldn't have to be dragged out by that rope. Okay? Jesus became our mercy seat. Here's the thing. God told Moses, I'm going to commune with you over the mercy seat. I'm going to talk to you over the mercy seat. God the Father always desired a relationship with us, where he could talk with us, where he could communicate. Jesus made that possible for us, that we could have a fellowship with him and a relationship with God the Father. Now, there's one sin that people always ask about. What do you think it is? Unforgivable sin, blaspheming the Holy Ghost. How does that happen? How do you do that? Well, a Christian ain't going to do that, because what it is a progressive process. What's a progressive process of hardening the heart? It's a willful rejection of truth and the rejection of grace. Let's look at John chapter 3, verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is how you harden your heart. If you come to the point where you consistently say in your heart that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, and you continually reject him, then that is the unpardonable sin. How is that so, Millie? Because when you come to Jesus, Samuel, when you come to Jesus, you are filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost seals you. It's like a proof of purchase. You're bought with a price, and it's the blood of Jesus. And the Holy Ghost comes in you and lives in you. But if you deny that God, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you are never sealed. You don't receive the seal. And your heart becomes hard. Now, there's a thing in nursing called eschar. E-S-C-H-A-R. Eschar is a black, leathery tissue, and no healing takes place underneath that tissue. It can't be staged, and it only can be removed, either surgically or chemically. So just think of, I think of it like that. That person's heart is eschkard. It's covered over. It's not, it cannot be sealed. It comes to the point where the Holy Spirit can't enter in. And have you ever talked to someone who's an atheist through and through? It's like talking to that wall. It can't receive Christ, and neither can they. It's a hard place. It's a hard place to be. So that is the unforgivable sin. Sister Millie, have you seen it? Yes, I have. Unfortunately, I have. I'm not judging it, but what I witnessed, Frank, is that person eventually died without Jesus. And there was no way I could reach him. I remember telling you about the guy at the nursing home, don't you? That said, you know, I asked him over and over. I'm just going to call him Jay. Jay, how about receiving Jesus Christ? Let's call your son. Let's tell him that you forgive him. No, I ain't going to do it, Millie. I can't do it. I've decided to live my life and die without Jesus. He had gotten to that point. His heart was covered over. The Holy Spirit couldn't come in. He couldn't be sealed. Now, remember I told you I was going to kind of connect some dots with propitiation? All right. Let me have that scarf under here. Let me tell you something. The Bible's amazing. Coco, how am I doing time-wise? Okay. What is Millie doing? Watch. Look at John chapter 20, verse 11 through 16. But Mary stood outside the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in there, white, sitting at the head, one sitting at the head. Remember the mercy seat, the cherubim? One sitting at the feet. She saw these two angels. One at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus laid. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken my Lord, I do not know where they have laid him." Now, as she turned around, she saw Jesus there, and she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she, supposing him to be a gardener, said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary, Mary." And immediately she knew it was him. Mary, when he called her name, she knew it was him. Now listen. People are hard in their heart, and they can't even hear him calling their name. Blessed are you that you heard him call your name, and you came to him. came to that mercy seat. And you can commune with him over the mercy seat because of Jesus. Now you know what the unpardonable sin is. And you know what Yada is. Killing. I'm them, sweetie.